This is VOA News via remote. I'm Tommy McNeil. The escalation of violence in Myanmar as authorities crack down on protests against the February 1st coup is adding to pressure for more sanctions against the junta. But countries are struggling over how to best confront military leaders near to global condemnation. The challenge is complicated by fears of harming ordinary citizens who are already suffering from economic slump worsened by the pandemic. Past sanctions have had limited impact, and Myanmar's neighbors, its biggest trading partners, have sought to avoid them. But activists and experts say there are ways to ramp up pressure on the regime, especially by cutting off sources of funding and access to the tools of repression. Pope Francis walked through a narrow alley in Iraq's holy city of Najaf for a historic meeting with the country's top Shiite clerics Saturday, and together they delivered a powerful message of peaceful coexistence in the country still reeling from back-to-back conflicts over the past decade. In a gesture both simple and profound, Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani welcomed Francis into his Spartan home. The 90-year-old cleric, one of the most eminent among Shiites worldwide, afterward said Christians should live in peace in Iraq and enjoy the same rights as other Iraqis. The Vatican said Francis thanked al-Sistani for having raised his voice in defense of the weakest and most persecuted during some of the most violent times in Iraq's recent history. In a camp at the U.S.-Mexico border, some asylum seekers were told by officials that the U.S. government may reopen their cases and they would eventually be able to enter the U.S. to wait out the asylum process. The new opening for people previously denied came as Mexican authorities worked to close the improvised camp along the banks of Rio Grande. This is VOA News. Pakistan's Prime Minister Imran Khan won a vote of confidence from Parliament Saturday in a season marked by opposition boycott of the vote and clashes between government supporters and opposition and leaders outside the Parliament building. Khan was able to secure 178 votes. That's more than 172 required. The former international cricketer who became prime minister after the 2018 general election volunteered to seek Parliament's confidence after the government's finance minister lost a high-profile Senate seat from a vote earlier in the week. Opposition parties boycotted the session, saying that Senate defeat was enough to show that Khan was no longer enjoying the confidence of the House. Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi called on Saturday for a binding deal by the summer on the operation of a giant Ethiopian hydropower dam. He was making his first visit to neighboring Sudan since the 2019 overthrow of Omar al-Bashir. Egypt also signaled support for Sudan in a dispute with Ethiopia over an area on the border between the two countries, where there have been recently even armed skirmishes. Both Egypt and Sudan lie downstream from the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, which it says is crucial to its economic development. Ethiopia, which says it has every right to use Nile waters, long exploited by Egypt, started filling the reservoir behind the dam last summer after Egypt and Sudan failed to secure a legally binding agreement on how the dam will be operated. Sudan fears that the dam, which lies on the Blue Nile close to its border, could increase the risk of flooding and affect the safe operation of its Nile dams. With water scarce, Egypt fears that supplies from the Nile could be hit hard. Recapping one of our top stories, the escalation of violence in Myanmar now has authorities crackdown on protests against the February 1st coup, and it's adding to pressure for more sanctions against the junta. But there are countries who are struggling over how to best confront military leaders. The challenge is complicated by fears of harming ordinary citizens who are already suffering from an economic slump and also from impacting Myanmar's neighbors. Via remote, I'm Tom McNeil, VOA News.